Let me read to you a story from Luke's gospel. One time a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But the man, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going by down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But then a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? The man said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Very familiar story about a man who knows that he is supposed to love his neighbor. But as the passage says, he's seeking to justify his own life. And so he asks the question to Jesus, "Just who is my neighbor?" Asking the question not so he can know who he can love, but to find out who he doesn't have to love, who doesn't fall within the boundaries of his neighbor. And so the question that drives this story is the question, who is my neighbor? But the brilliance that you may not have noticed before is the way Jesus tells a story in such a way that it totally turns this man's question on its head. It turns it upside down. Here's the story we expect Jesus to tell. We expect him to tell a story about a Samaritan, which, if you don't know, Samaritans were like sworn enemies of the Jews. They were traitors to the Jews. They were Gentile trash, basically, a half-breed trash. So what we expect Jesus to do is tell the story of a Samaritan who is on his way to Jericho, and on his way, a Samaritan gets robbed and beaten and left for dead. And then along comes a Jewish man, and he sees this Samaritan, and he has compassion on him, and he takes care of him. And the shock of the story would be that a Jewish man cared even for a Samaritan. Even a Samaritan. And the point would be that our neighbors include not only our friends, but our enemies. Not only those we love, but those we hate. Our neighbor includes those people. That's a great story. But that's not the story Jesus tells. In Jesus' story, the Samaritan is not the one left on the side of the road. The Samaritan is the one who helps the guy on the side of the road. Because the story is not about the person on the side of the road. It's about 3 people who pass by this man, who each have an opportunity to be a neighbor to this person. And so the question that Jesus asks at the end of the story is, which of these 3 people proved to be a neighbor to this man? And essentially he says to this lawyer, "You're asking the wrong question. The question is not, who's my neighbor? The question is, am I going to be a neighbor to other people?" That's the question. You want to know who the neighbor is? You're the neighbor. You're the neighbor. And that's why the person that's left on the side of the road, we get no description of that man. The passage refers to him only as a certain man, and he remains anonymous throughout the passage. We don't know if he's a Jew. We don't know if he's a Gentile. We don't know if he's righteous, if he's a sinner, if he's rich or poor, because the point is not, who is this man? Is he my neighbor or not? The point is, who am I? And am I going to choose to be a neighbor to this person or not? And so Jesus takes this man's question and turns it upside down. And he tells a story of 3 people, each who have the possibility of being a neighbor to this man in need. And we all know the story. The first 2 are 2 people that, by any human account, are righteous people. Okay, these are people that grew up in the church. They go to all the right Bible studies. They attend all the right home fellowship groups. They have their quiet times all the time. They're righteous by any human account. But they don't stop. And we don't know why they don't stop. It might be because they don't want to defile themselves with this body. It might be because they're too busy. They're leaving their work at the temple. They want to get home. It might be because this man just looks so beaten that they just don't want to deal with the issue. We don't know why. But they each do the same three things. It says they come across this man, they see him, and then they pass by on the other side of the road. And then a third man comes, a Samaritan, a man by birthright excluded from the chosen people of God. And his response is identical in the first two ways. He also comes, and he also sees. But after that, we have what is the turning point of the whole story. It says, he came and he saw. And then it says, and he had compassion on this man that was left on the side of the road. He had compassion. Literally in the Greek, his guts were stirred for this man. Or we would say in English, his heart went out to this man. Compassion. It's the word that describes the way Jesus' heart goes out to people throughout the Gospels. It's ultimately a word that describes God's compassionate heart and his faithfulness to his people. And it's that word that is the crux of the passage, compassion. That's essentially the difference between this man and the other two. The difference isn't that they're Jews and he's a Samaritan. The difference is that he has compassion and they do not. And then, as we see in the rest of the story, his compassion for this man drives him to action. And as Jesus tells a story, even extravagant action, even exaggerated action, we might say. He sees this man and he binds his wounds. He takes him to an inn and he pays for whatever needs this man might have. But he allows his compassion to drive him to costly action. Compassion leading to action. And so Jesus ends the story by saying, which of these three proved to be the neighbor to this man? And the lawyer answers correctly, the one, literally, the one who did mercy. Again, action and compassion, the one who did mercy to this man. And so Jesus says, go and do likewise. To close this morning off, you just heard three stories from three people in our community. Very different personalities. I know them all, I promise you. Very different personalities. Very different stages of life. But each trying to use whatever gifts and passions are inside of them and turning those outward to give them over to other people. Each one allowing passion and compassion to motivate them to some type of action. I was thinking about this Sunday, and I just wanted to tell you how the way my life works, because I think it's similar to yours. I'm someone who is generally focused on myself, okay? Professionally speaking, my goal is to try to advance my career. I'm a young man trying to be successful in my career, which is church ministry in my case. And spiritually, I'm always thinking in terms of how am I growing in my faith? How am I growing in my walk with God? Am I improving? Am I gaining more knowledge? Am I gaining more wisdom? Fundamentally, in my profession and in even my spiritual life, focused on myself. And every once in a while, I come across stories like the ones we heard, stories of people reaching out to others, either with the love of Christ or with the truth of the gospel, spreading the gospel, or even more, I'll be reading a passage in Scripture that talks about, you know, the poor and needy, caring for the poor and needy. And I see that in the midst of my life. And I've been a Christian for a long time. I know what I'm called to be as a Christian. I know that Scripture again and again is calling me to care for the poor and needy, calling me to share the truth of the gospel. And so I run across these stories every once in a while, and my response is always guilt. Okay? I always feel guilty because I know I'm not doing what I should be doing. And I don't know what to do with the guilt. So I sit with it for a day, and then the guilt kind of goes away. And so I live my life with this really just low-grade, low-level guilt running through my life in the area of reaching out to other people. I say that because I assume that many of you are in that exact same place. And so in the midst of that, I want to close by saying that at Grace, in the midst of how you feel with that, we do not want to be merely an organization that creates programs that gives us all opportunities to reach out once a month or once every 2 months to sort of assuage the guilt that we feel in the area of outreach, okay? We want to provide opportunities, but we want to be a community of people whose hearts are fundamentally outward focused, whose hearts reflect the compassion of our Heavenly Father for the people that we encounter every day. That's what we want to be about. We want to be about being people whose compassion drives us to action on behalf of other people, even costly action. And given our schedules, given the responsibilities that we have, any action we take is going to cost us something. Okay, we've already got full lives. But that's what we want to be about. We don't want to be about being a community that is just inward focused, that is just insular, that is just trying to protect itself and build up its own spiritual muscles. We want to be a community that is outward focused, that sees its identity as salt and light in this world, in our businesses, in our neighborhoods, in our social gatherings, and in this county and in the world. That's what we want to be about. That's what we want to do. And only God can do that in our hearts. And so this morning is so much more than trying to get you to put one more thing in your already very busy schedule. And this community, this committee is about so much more than that. It's a matter of our hearts, and it's fundamentally a battle for our hearts. Are we going to be turned in on ourselves, or are we going to be turned out in compassion and action to the people that we encounter? So in closing, I want to encourage you guys to do two things this morning. First thing, I want to encourage you to come out to the atrium after the service. Come out and talk to those people in the committee, and check out the opportunities that are there, and sign up for something. But more importantly than that, just come out and have a dialogue. Start a dialogue. Share where your heart is. Ask them questions. Give them your feedback. Come out there and just start a dialogue about these things. And then second, I would ask you simply to commit to pray this week. Simply to commit to pray something simple like, Father, open my eyes to the needs that you want me to see. Open my eyes this week to the needs that you want me to see, and then give me a heart of compassion for those needs. Teach me what it means to be the neighbor to the people that I encounter. So those would be my two encouragements to you. Let's pray. Father, we want to be a community that honors you, that reflects your compassion and your love to others. And that's a work that you are doing in our hearts. That's a work that only you can do in our hearts. And so we pray that you would continue that work for the sake of your kingdom and for our sake as well. Pray that you would continue to teach us what it means to be the neighbor to those we encounter every day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.